Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn it to Exodus, the third chapter. I'm not going to start there, but that's going to be one of the three verses we're going to use to set up this talk today, and we're going to go through a lot of different scriptures, so don't feel like you have to turn, because we will have them on the screen. But these three are important that you put your eyes on, because it's going to set up the rest of the day. Are you ready? Turn to the person next to you and say, get ready. So we're going to start in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 27. The Bible says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And then in Genesis, the second chapter, verse 7, the Bible says, then the Lord God formed the man. So Genesis 1:27 is telling us like an overview of what God did and how he created. But now the second chapter here is going to start going into a more detailed account of how he actually did it. It says, then the Lord formed. So I want you to picture being involved in the process. He formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. So as soon as God got involved in the dirt, something significant happened, and that which was formless took on life and now has a purpose. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have a purpose. So now we're going to go to Exodus 3, and this is the story we started this series with. It's Moses at the burning bush. But there's something very cool in here that I want us to get today. When it says, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, saying, Moses, Moses. And Moses responded, here I am. Then God said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Take your shoes off because you're about to encounter something holy. That word holy just means sacred or set aside for a special purpose. What was common like the dirt is now called holy because God's presence has come into contact with it. Are you tracking with me so far? A few years ago, I want to show you this, I bought this bass, and the reason I got it is because I'm a big Beatles fan, and more specifically, Paul McCartney was my favorite Beatle, and this is the style bass that he played. As a matter of fact, it became one of the most iconic basses, the most significant basses in the entire world because of the different songs that it was played on. And what's so cool about the story of his bass is he bought it for 30 pounds, which is about 37 American dollars. But now that bass today is worth $12.6 million simply because it was in his hands and he touched it. I was thinking about it. Like if you didn't know the story about Paul's bass and I held mine in this hand and I held his in the other hand, and I said, I'm going to let you come up here and pick one and take with you. You would probably choose mine because it's in a lot better condition. It hasn't traveled as much as his has. It hasn't been worn out as much as his has. Yet mine carries not near the amount of value as Paul McCartney's. Why? Because he touched that one and he hasn't touched this one. You know, what's interesting is in 1972, somebody actually stole his base. And it's been missing for 52 years until February of 2024, when this fan group put together a Let's Find Paul's Base Club. And so they were able to track it down to a bar in England where the guy who stole the base actually took it and traded it for some pints. This is a rewind. $12.6 million could have a couple of beers. Here's your sign. But eventually that base kept on passing hands until it wound up in this woman's attic. And so she saw this campaign that they were doing to find the base, and she was like, you know, I've got something like that in my attic. And so she sent in the information, and lo and behold, she had Paul McCartney's base in her attic. Now, she just thought it was a piece of junk that her husband had collected along the way, because how many of you know, ladies know that guys tend to collect junk? And so she just thought, oh, that's just a piece of garbage up there, not realizing that what she had in her attic was worth $12.6 million. It looked like a piece of junk, but it had tremendous value because of who touched it. Turn to the person next to you and say, who touches it really does matter. So in Exodus, the third chapter, when Moses encounters the burning bush, as he approaches it to check it out, God speaks to him and says, hold up, first take your shoes off, because the place you are standing is holy ground. Now, I was thinking about that the other day, and I started to think, like, it'd be cool if we could all jump in a time machine and go back to this moment. To see the bush on fire, to see the encounter between God and Moses. But what really struck me is that if we were to look down at this place that God called holy, all we would see is dirt. Because there was nothing special about the appearance of the dirt. There was nothing even special about the content of the dirt. This dirt had been there for a long time, but what was common is now called holy because God's presence has touched it. And anytime God's presence touches something, it gets value. Anytime God's presence touches something, it is set apart for a special purpose. And I can tell by the way you're looking at me right now, you're thinking, why are we talking about dirt? That's awesome. Dirt, 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 dirt. What's so special about the dirt? Let's go all the way back to Genesis where we started. And God formed man from the dirt. Are you seeing that? As soon as that dirt came into contact with God, it became a living being and got some purpose. I want you to know this morning that your life has some purpose. Your life has some value, not because of the dirt, but because of who has touched the dirt. And so sometimes, like, we don't understand this because we get so caught up looking at ourselves and our flesh and our actions, and we miss the value of what is going on inside of us. Some of us, we feel like such a piece of garbage because of the things that we've been through in our life, but I want you to understand what you've been through does not determine your value. Who touched you determines your value. Are you with me? I mean, the holy ground that God is talking about with Moses is just out in the middle of the wilderness. So before this moment, there's nothing special about this place. A donkey could have come up the day before and relieved itself on this dirt. But as soon as God touches it, now it is holy. Are you seeing that? What happened to the dirt does not determine the value. What determines the value is by who touched the dirt. And so what I want to start by saying this morning is stop looking at the dirt. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't look at the dirt. What do I mean by dirt? Stop looking at what's going on the outside of your life. This is nothing more than a vehicle. This is nothing more than a vessel that is carrying a real treasure. I want to show this to you in Scripture. If you go to 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, let's look at verse 16 together. Paul says from now on, and I want us to apply this to our life. So from now on means as of this moment moving forward. Turn to the person next to you and say, from this moment forward, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, why? Why do we no longer look at the flesh? Because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. What Paul is saying is stop judging people by what you see with your natural eyes, because there is more to them than what you can see with your eyeballs. I hope you know that. If you are in Christ, there is more to you than what you see in the mirror. And if we don't understand that, we'll get so caught up with what's going on in the natural that we'll miss that God has a supernatural purpose for our life. We have to stop sizing people up, and we have to stop sizing ourselves up based upon what's going on in the natural. And how many of you know we do that, don't we? We size people up. We don't know them, but we'll look them up and down, and we determine whether or not we could take them, especially guys. Be honest, right? I've already figured I could take at least 50% of you just during this sermon. Try me. Cast me outside. But we size people up, and we'll cast a judgment like, oh, they're rich, they're poor, they're smart, they're uneducated. We don't even know the person, but all based upon what we see with our eyes, we size them up, and Paul's saying you've got to stop doing that because their life consists of more than what you see. There's something greater inside of them than you can fathom, and if you don't understand it, you'll miss the treasure that God has placed there for you. I want to take you to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. There's a powerful story here that I want to pull from to really set up the importance of not looking at someone through the natural lens, but learning how to see them according to the purpose and the plan and the value that God has placed on their life. And I hope you know that you carry tremendous value. If you hear nothing else from me this morning, please hear that you carry value. 1 Samuel 16 says this, starting in verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, now Samuel's a prophet. He says to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul? Saul was the current king over Israel. And Samuel's all tore up because Saul has done some stuff to upset God. And God's like, hey, I'm not going to use him as my king anymore. I'm going to choose someone else. And God's like, basically, Samuel, need to get over this and move on. And he says, how long are you going to grieve over Saul since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you. In other words, the next king of Israel is going to be someone I choose and not someone that the people choose. Because how many of you know people get it wrong? Why do they get it wrong? Because we size them up based upon what we see, right? So Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Now watch. When the sons came, Samuel looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his what? Appearance. Or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Please catch this. For the Lord does not see the way we see. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And what God is trying to do is he's trying to shift the way we see too. He's saying, stop looking at what's going on the outside and start looking at what's going on the inside, because that is what really matters to me. So the story goes on. Then Jesse called Abinadab, another brother, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made, watch this, made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, well, there remains yet the youngest, but he's out there, he's keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. They didn't even think David was significant enough to invite to the party. I don't know if you were that kid in the family, or if there was something special going on, you were always overlooked. But that's what's going on. I don't know which one of you it was. It was you, Kelly. But I mean, think about this. Everybody in your family is being invited to this party. One of you is going to be the next king of Israel, and nobody even wants to invite David because they think there's no way. He doesn't even have a shot. He just needs to stay out there with the sheep. Yet God steps on the scene and says, no, you got it wrong. He's actually the one I want. And I want you to understand, if you have ever felt overlooked in your life, you need to know that God sees you. God knows you, and God is not judging you based upon what you have done in your past, but he is judging you by the gift he has placed inside of you, and he will work with you and on you until he withdraws from you what he has placed inside. Man, if I had a real church right now, they'd be shouting me down. You should have seen the 9:30. We had to repaint the walls. But are you catching this morning? God has deposited something inside of you of great value, and it doesn't matter what people see. It doesn't matter what people know. All that matters is, what are you doing for the kingdom of God? And know, when you do that, God sees you. I was telling the service earlier, like, the bigger we get, the less I know. But there was a time where we would go to lunch after service, and I could count how many people were at church by naming them. And I could count who wasn't at church by naming them. If you did something at the church, I knew exactly what you did. I knew exactly what your name was. And that was awesome. The problem is, the bigger we get, the more impossible that gets for me. I try my best. I want to know you. I want to know your name. I am very interested in what you do here for the church. But I'm a human being. It's possible that things are going to slip through the cracks. Are you understanding? And the point is, it doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I know. All that matters is God sees you. He knows you. He values you because he's placed something inside of you. And so stop judging yourself and stop judging others based upon what you see. And the second thing I want you to understand is, it is time that we stop treating people like dirt, because they are more than just dirt. They may have started as dirt, but as soon as you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, what was is no longer now. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter verse 19. Go there. And as you're going there, I want to show you something. It's funny, because if I say something from the pulpit, I end up getting it. And I'm learning now that I need to start saying better things, because like one time I said Twinkies and got to my office, had Twinkies. Last week at the 9:30 service, I said ding dongs, and I show up today, I get ding dongs. And then in the first service, I said something about $1 million, and somebody handed me $1 million bill. You can fight me over it later. But let's just imagine this was real. Let's imagine that there was a such thing as $1 million bill, and I was holding it in my hand, and I said to you, this is yours. Come get it. And I laid it there on the stage. Now, once you came and got it, and let's imagine it was a check for $1 million, Once you came and got that check for $1 million, how would you treat it? Would you just wad it up and throw it in your pocketbook, or just wad it up and throw it in your pocket? No. You'd pay careful attention to it because that's worth $1 million. And the problem is you can't go deposit it today because the banks are closed, which means you've got to sit on that thing for probably another 15, 16 hours before you can get it in the bank. And I don't know about you, but if it was me, I'd have that thing in my hand from the moment I got it. I'd have it in both hands. I'd be staring at it. As soon as church was over, I would have somebody drive me home because I want to keep both hands and both eyes on that check. And once I got home, I would lock the doors. I would set the alarm. I would go to my bedroom. I would lock the bedroom door, and I would just sit there and stare at that check until Monday morning rolls around, and I would call somebody in law enforcement and say, send somebody now because I'm going to pay them to escort me to the bank because I've got something that needs to get deposited. Why do we do that? Because it has value. Ladies know, if you've got valuables around the house, you don't just throw them in any drawer, do you? You've got a special place for valuable things. I have a special place in my house for valuable things to where if there was a fire or something, they would be protected. Why? Because we guard valuable things. Did you know that your life is more valuable than $1 million? The life of the person sitting next to you right now is worth more than $1 million. So why would we treat them like a piece of dirt? Watch this. 1 Corinthians 6. It says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? That is huge right there. What he's saying is, once you receive Christ, you now become the temple of the living God. The Spirit of God, the one who created all things, now dwells inside of you. This building is not the church. You are the church. You carry his presence. Are you seeing that? That's why you're not just dirt. You may have started there, but as soon as God comes into contact with you and fills your life, you become something way more significant than dirt. And so if I am the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives inside of me, then however I treat myself is how I'm treating God. However I treat you is now how I am treating Jesus himself. You're thinking, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm just Paul. I ain't Jesus. Well, I'm not saying you're Jesus. I'm saying Jesus lives inside of you. Jesus himself said this, what you do for the least of these, you've done to me. However you treat people is how you're treating me. Doesn't that change your perspective on how you handle people? Listen, the fact is, like, we're always going to come into contact with dirt when we come into contact with people. But we have a choice to either see the dirt or we can see the value. And whatever we look for is what we're going to find. Because how many of you know you will find whatever you're looking for? If you're only looking for the dirt on someone, you will always find the dirt. But if you're looking for the value, that's what you'll get from them. Listen, if you're always speaking to the dirt that's on someone's life, that's what you're going to get from them. But instead of speaking about the dirt, if you'll start speaking to the value that God has placed inside of them, the gift that God has placed inside of them, then eventually that's going to well up and you're going to begin to see that more than you see the dirt. You are the temple of the living God. Then he goes on to say, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. What's the price? It's the blood of Jesus. The most valuable thing in the universe is the blood of Jesus, and he was willing to shed it for you so that you could receive some value on yourself. So you're not dirt. You are the dwelling place of God. You are not dirt. You are full of purpose. You're not dirt. You have a treasure, the Bible says, that is hidden in your earthen vessel. So we've got to stop treating people like dirt, and we've got to start digging for the gold. You ever pan for gold? You go, you buy what, a big old bag of dirt, and then you throw it in the water, and you slush it around, and the water becomes murky, and dirty and filthy. But if you stay with that long enough and you work with it long enough, eventually you're going to find the gold. And that's what we're looking for in people. We're looking for the value. We're looking for the gold. And I want you to understand, every single person has gold. Every single person has value. And we're going to be a church that recognizes that. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care what you've been through in your life. We know that God's got a purpose for you. I told the first service, I don't care if you're high as a kite right now. I'm glad you're here. I don't care if you're drunker than 400. I'm just glad you're here. Because I believe that if you will sit in this environment long enough, you may not catch it the first time, but if you sit here long enough, the seed of the word is going to take root in your life and you're going to start seeing things transform, things change, because you're going to start seeing, you know what? I do have some value. I do have some worth. I'm not going to do that because of who I am in Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? So I'm never going to push anyone away. We're never going to push anyone away. We're going to see the value in them. There was a gentleman in the first service, his name is Glenn, and he shared his story with me. Years ago, Glenn was an alcoholic, and he determined, you know what, some things need to change in my life. And he said, anytime the doors are open to the church, I'm going to go. So if the church was open on Sundays, Glenn went. If the church was open on Wednesdays, Glenn went. But here's the thing, Glenn didn't stop drinking. Glenn was still an alcoholic. So he would wake up Sunday morning, start drinking, go to church drunk. As soon as church was over, he kept on and finished it out. You know why? Because Glenn's not a quitter. But watch this. Nothing changed immediately, but he kept on going. And over time, he got more and more of the Word of God in his life, until one day he had an encounter with Jesus that forever changed him. And this was like 20 or 30 years ago, and from that moment forward, he hasn't touched a drop of alcohol since. But what would have happened if Glenn would have come to church and someone would have been like, we don't do that around here. You need to go brush your teeth, change your clothes, take a shower, come back next week when you've learned how to sober up. See, that's the problem, is we're trying to clean people, and it's not our job to clean people. It's our job to catch people, and when we bring them in and they come in, Jesus will do the rest. If there's something in their life that needs to be fixed, the more they sit in this atmosphere, the more Jesus will fix them. I am so glad that people didn't treat me like a piece of dirt when I was younger, because if they would have cast me aside because of the things I was doing, I wouldn't be where I am now. But I found people that welcomed me, that brought me in, that loved on me, that saw the treasure through the dirt. And now I'm here today, and I will commit to seeing the treasure in you beyond your dirt. There's nothing you could do that would shock me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I could shock you a lot quicker than you shock me. I don't care what you did on the way to church this morning. You're here now, and you need to know that you've got value. Keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on receiving the Word of God, and allow God to bring the change in your life. Well, I want to go somewhere where I can judge people, then find another church, because this one ain't it. The 9:30 got a different sermon. Number three, don't get so familiar with the dirt that you miss the treasure. I'm going to close with this one, but this is important. Sometimes we can get so familiar with a person that we miss the value of the person. In Matthew 16, there's a story of Jesus going to his hometown, and I want to wrap up with this story because it's so powerful. The Bible says, and when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. Catch this. Jesus is in his hometown. He's teaching. He's doing things he's been doing in every other town. These people are offended with him. And Jesus says this: a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They missed the miracle because all they could see was the man. And you can only receive from someone what you recognize about them. Every single person in this room has a treasure and a gift. And the only way to make a withdrawal from that gift and that treasure that is inside of them is to recognize it, to celebrate it, and to honor it. Because whatever you do not celebrate will eventually exit your life. There was no problem with Jesus. Jesus was who he was no matter what they thought. But what they thought determined what they could receive. Are you following what I'm saying? It is the same way with us. We have to understand that every single one of us have a treasure in earthen vessel. Every single one of us have a special purpose. Every single one of us have a gift from God that is placed there for the benefit of one another. The things in me are there for you. The things in you are there for me. And the only way to extract it is through recognizing it and honoring it. And you honor someone when you look beyond the dirt. You look beyond the flesh and you see the gift. And that's the problem we have. It's so hard for us to look beyond the flesh. Oh, that's just old Mike. I know Mike. I know we went way back. That's what they're doing to Jesus. Oh, that's the kid we went to preschool with. Who's he think he is? You know, if I ever go to my dad's church, inevitably, there will be someone that says, I used to change your diaper. Well, it must have been impressive. Sorry. Wait, but it's been 40 years and you still remember that? It's not like I was wearing diapers last week. But the point is, if that's all they see about me, then they're going to limit what they can receive from me. That's so important, church. You got to hear this. If all you see is Aram, then you're going to be very limited in what you can receive from me. But if you see that that's a vessel that God has placed in my life to bring a deposit to me, then things will start shifting and changing. And it's that way for all of us. I'm just using me as an example, but the same thing is for you. Like, if I can start seeing that you've got a gift inside of you, and you're not just Mike, you're not just what you did in your past, but you are a gift from God that he has brought to me for me, then I'm going to start receiving something. And we have to understand that every gift is just as valuable as the next gift. Just because you're not standing on stage leading worship doesn't mean that your gift is less valuable. Just because you're not preaching the sermon right now doesn't mean your gift is less valuable. They're all valuable in their place. Finding your place, expressing your gift. Today, church, I want this to be a day that changes the way we see people. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.